Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. We have an awesome episode for you today, but we just want to remind you before the episode starts that if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, please leave your comments in the Q&A section under this episode. If you're listening on Apple, Google, or anywhere in between, please tweet Gary at Gary V. Make sure you join the Discord to stay up to date on all things V Friends, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Welcome to the Cliff Bar group that we have here. So what you have on the call right here is the sales leaders at Cliff Bar. Reason why we reach out to you, obviously, is I know back and forth with your team. So in the news a couple months ago, Mondelez acquired Cliff Bar for about $3 billion, let's say, with that. Well, this is the group here that has been implementing a lot of that change, and a lot of unknown has come with that change here, right? So for us as people leaders, as organizational leaders with this business, one of the things that this group does is we meet on a monthly basis, have a specific topic that we discuss, right? Last month, our topic was empathy, and we talked about diversity and inclusion. We talk about how to lead through that, and especially going into a lot of these maybe unforeseen times.
Yeah.
You don't know what the future looks like. So one of the things we wanted to ask you and talk with you about is, how do we lead through this unknown time to have empathy for our people and keep continuing to move this juggernaut of the Cliff business forward as we kind of transition to Mondelez? So we'll start there and start with that.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I know it was like 4 minutes late, so I pushed my next meeting by 5 minutes, so we have all our time. Really nice to be with all of you. I'm using the chat, so please use the chat too. I put my LinkedIn there if I can be a help for your cousin or your aunt or yourself, like there's that. To answer your question, I think, you know, I put out a book recently and I talked about the concept of kind candor. And I spoke how candor, ironically, Gary V, the content producer, incredibly candorous. Some of you maybe have seen my videos. Gary Vaynerchuk, the operator, struggled with candor because I demonized it as something that scared people. And I really struggled with it for about 20 years. But then I rebranded it to myself and now I call it kind candor, because I realized the shortcomings of it. When people don't know where they stand, they actually are more scared. I used to not be as candorous because I would take on all the pressure and I didn't want people to be scared because I got it. A little bit of a superhero syndrome, right? Because that's how I did it for my family business and everything I've ever done. But what I realized is when a business has to make tough decisions and it comes out of dead left field, it actually could be extremely detrimental. And so alluding to what you're saying right now, look, I think all of us are very aware that it may be challenging next year. Like, we may actually be in the biggest era of layoffs that we've seen since 2008. That is in play. It may not happen, who knows, but it's definitely in play. And I know it's in the air, and who knows what it means for bonuses and all that, and integrating on that kind of M&A deal. I have a lot of empathy for that, Jim. That makes a lot of sense. Duplication, blah, blah, blah. Even if things were great, that's a time of changing, a lot of integration issues. I really do believe kind candor is the best thing you can do, which is speak truth, but come from incredible levels of compassion, and speak to things you actually control. So I think a thing that big executives, senior executives, leaders make a mistake of is they want to say that we're gonna be people first and we're gonna do the best we can, but they don't have the full control. And they put themselves in precarious spots if that's true, right? You know, and so
very well said, Gary, with that. And I think one of the things with that, you know, where do you jump in and know, like, hey, what's in my control? Because, you know, as a leader too, right, you want to protect your people. You want to make sure that you're trying to deflect anything that they might not.
So let me tell you something that I do that is insane.
Yeah.
That you all will have a better way of doing than I do it. And I still do it. Check this one out. I have no board. I'm not a publicly traded company. I have full control of the company. I have all the say. And yet I still have certain meetings with people through the last 15 years where I say, listen, Gary Vaynerchuk, the CEO of VaynerX, can't tell you without a shadow of a doubt whether this is gonna go X, Y, or Z. Cannot, even though I have all control, right? Because the economy may collapse and we may lose our 7 biggest clients in 24 hours and I may need to save the company and do a layoff. Gary Vaynerchuk, the human being, is telling you right now, Jim B, to your face, that if, God forbid, something atrocious happens, I am your first person, and I will spend 7 hours at night on LinkedIn trying to get you on your feet. If I can do that, where I have all the control, and the person looks at me saying, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't have to fire me. What are you doing? What are you talking about? Well, then you guys can definitely do that. And so there's a level of you, the executive, and you, the human, that if you play it right and hit the right crescendo, can bring incredible value to your team. It's incredibly nuanced, and I don't even recommend it for everyone because you may not want the emotional burden, but it is a for instance of doing something slightly different than the norms of the way people do business. If you're willing to deliver on that. The reason it works for me is when I say it, which always pisses me off when I say it because then I know I have a double burden, I do it.
We definitely appreciate that, Gary. Let me ask this.
And you know what that's, by the way, team, there's such a small group here. You know what that combo's relegated to? The person you really bleed for. You can't do that for everybody, but there might be one or two people that you really, really have something with, and like you really mean it, and if you're gonna do it, really brings them a lot of peace of mind and eliminates fear during a time of uncertainty.
For sure, I think that's great. I think that's the piece, right? There's with uncertainty, there comes fear, but there can also be a lot of really good things that come out of that, and that's what we try to articulate a little bit with the message too, is that there's a lot of good that's, you know, coming forward here, right? We just don't know what that looks like. So to that point too, with all the unknown
that— Oh, Josh, I love you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jim. I just have to kiss Josh's red beard. This is the question. The reason I created Kind Candor is I have absolutely watched the world use radical candor as an opportunity to not be nice. The end. Radical candor has given permission to people who do not have emotional intelligence or compassion a free hall pass to be borderline nasty at worst and indifferent at best. Kind candor sets the tone real fast. I was stunned how quickly my organization got good at it. Even the people that I feel are not compassionate or sympathetic or and are not emotional intelligence leaders, even they got good at it. They went from F's to C's, and all the C's went to A minuses, and the whole company changed. It's amazing what one word can do.
Well said.
Right, just think about it. Even think about the concept of radical candor versus kind candor. It just feels different when you even say it. So that's how I see it different, Josh. That's how it's played out for us.
Yeah, great question. Gary, one of the things with Clif Bar too, and one of the things that in the CPG world, what we're known for is the culture that Clif Bar's created, right? It comes with the people, it comes with—
I'm very aware. I'm aware.
How do we keep that as we go into a big conglomerate like Mondelez?
By speaking truth, if it's true that Mondelez is fully like, you know what you're doing, we're not talking to you, do your thing, kick the EBITDA, have a nice day, well then you say that's true. If it's not true, you can't. You can say, look, something's changed with a deal like this, but we are obsessed with maintaining the best of what we've had to the best of our ability in perpetuity. And that might be 87%. And then you say things that are true, like, hey, by the way, we may think it's 87% of our old 100%. For a lot of you that work here, that change in 13% might be something you like better than the way we did it. You might like we're a little bit more fiscally this, or a little more culture this, or corporate this. So you just speak to truth. The number one thing that people struggle with is bullshit. You know that. Hey, nothing's gonna change. And then 4 months later, there's like posters for the first time ever put up in the walls of the company saying, we do it for the, like some bullshit corporate jargon. They're like, see, that changed. Yeah, Josh, I'll be honest with you, bro. I can tell you my entire career is what you just said in the chat. All my shortcomings were being too kind and not having candor. Mine was the reverse. I needed the candor part, not the kind part. I didn't care about money enough. I still don't. I just like playing entrepreneur more. So like—
Is that a self-awareness thing?
It's a huge self-awareness thing.
Worry about?
Yeah, but you know, it's a huge self-awareness thing, and I had to see what was not working in my personal and professional life and like decided that I want the next 40 years to be better than my last 40 years, you know? Professionally. I was started working at 6, I'd say, because I did Lemonade. So, you know, yeah. 100%. And it's never fun when things are working super well and you have 90% great relationships, but like, you're either trying to be better or you're not, and I want it to be better.
Fantastic. I want to open it up to the group. I want to make sure, is there any other questions? I know we're winding down on time here with Gary. We got a couple more minutes. So any other questions from the group? I got one more, but I want to make sure that we get everyone.
Yeah, and don't be shy, group.
All right, I'm going to jump in with mine here because, so I have...
Group, I'm very upset with all of you. Just so you know, I'm very upset, group. Go ahead, Jim.
No, that's fine. Please call them out on it. So that means I don't have to later on here. So,
well, you know, it's funny. Well, it's funny though, Jim, no bullshit. Like, I really think a lot about this. Like, all I think about actually is people worrying about other people's opinions about themselves. The singular reason most people don't unmic and ask a question is a subconscious belief of what will the rest of them think of the question. It's really fascinating and very real.
I'll break the ice with my question then too, because this is what I'm going to go. We have on the Target team a question that we ask everyone that comes in with us, and here's what it is. If you were on The Voice or American Idol and you had one song that you needed to get a golden ticket or a chair turned around, what song would you sing to make sure Simon Cowell gave you that and why?
Okay, here's a crazy, so the answer is I would disqualify myself before I started to sing for two reasons. One, back to self-awareness. My capacity to sing is staggeringly low. There's something even scarier. This is insane to me. I will reek, this is no bullshit. Guy Robinson, I want you to hear this. I will remember the plaid shirt that you wore to this Zoom for 15 fucking minutes in 19 years if I met you out of context at a baseball game. However, I do not know the words to any song on earth. Not one. Not one song. I've listened to First of the Month by Bone Thugs and Harmony 77,000 times. We Are the World 100,000 times. Something in my son was diagnosed with dyslexia. I know I have something. I do not know the words of a single song on earth.
We might need to create a new song for your B-friends then too, to make sure that comes in your head then and you get something at least.
Even when I have it, then I like lose it. Like I've made up like every word ever. Like when I actually read the lyrics of some songs that I thought I had, I always laugh. Like some of the shit that I think is in a song that's not is ludicrous. So that's my song journey. So the answer is I wouldn't, but if I was like super duper duper forced to, it would probably be like a Cindy, it would have to be like 80s pop. It would be like Cyndi Lauper, like Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. Yeah. something like that. Something like that I feel I could get down. Something that would catch everyone's attention of like, why is this dude singing Girls Just Wanna Have, you know? What do you consider the most important quality? Guy, the number one thing, this is why when I had the realization that candor was a weakness, literally was the most painful day of my career. The number one job of a leader is to eliminate fear. And it's not even close. And you know, it's why I'm completely obsessed with the bullshit of bonus structures in corporate environments. Because
so
it's-
can I answer a follow-up question there? Where we've talked about the monolith.
You saw I pushed it 5 minutes, right? You saw the email? Go ahead.
We're in a, and what you might define as the messy middle. We don't have clarity around the future. We don't know where we're going to be going. We've been told we're going to be integrated yet independent. Right now, if anyone stopped to think about it, there's a lot to be fearful of. So how do you resolve fear when you don't have the answers that will immediately do that for people? How do you
operate in the gray and still
not acknowledge the fear?
Yeah, by coming up with off-speed pitches and curveballs like I just told you, which is like, it's really hand-to-hand combat, Josh, right? Like, you can only say to three people, hey, Susan, if you're a casualty of this recession integration, I, Josh, have all these ways to help you. Other ways are, hey, narratives that are true. If anyone's confused at Cliff that we are better off being part of a global, stable, business versus a well-funded, high valuation business that we were pre-acquisition, If you're not confused, if you're confused by that, get unconfused. We are in a dramatically better situation for safety than you are the other way that we were months ago. You just find them all sorts of truth.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary V Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.